Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome Corey Williams of the Associated Press, and he has been in Flint, covering everything having to do with the alleged slasher. Again, we use the word alleged. Nothing has been proven, although I wouldn't want to represent Elias Ebulzam. Very happy to welcome Corey in. Hello, Corey. How are you?
I'm good, Jack. How about yourself?
Just fine. Well, good. Are you taking up residency in Flint?
Well, I'm actually a block from where one of the attacks occurred. From about 3 weeks ago, I spoke with a 49-year-old man who described for me how he was attacked and how he barely survived.
Oh. What did he tell you?
Well, the guy's name is Richard Booker. He was heading out to one of the party stores, 11 o'clock at night, and a guy in the green truck pulled up, asked if he could help open his hood. Booker said that as he was trying to beat on the guy's hood to help him open it, he was stabbed in the side, the kidney and liver area. He said then the guy twisted his neck and stabbed him in his mid-torso. And then he went for, according to Booker, he went for his face, and Booker showed me the lacerations across both forearms where the knife cut him. He said he was able to hit the attacker in the nose, bloody his nose, roll away, and make it to his porch, though he knows he's very lucky. He said he lost 8 pints of blood and almost died from the attack.
Wow. Well, I am guessing that of the 14 men who were attacked in the Flint area, 5 were killed in the process, and the other 9 were very fortunate.
This guy, Booker, described his attacker as a stone-cold killer who appeared to know exactly what he was doing to kill somebody. And as he showed me the wounds, you could tell that they were toward vital organs.
We heard from Harold Kopus, former FBI agent, the other day, who told us that the attacker was just honing his craft and had acquired a taste for blood, much like a lion or tiger, which is kind of a scary image. But I imagine maybe we're fortunate that the number of fatalities isn't 10, 12, or 14.
Well, you know, ironically, I spoke with a profiler, a guy. He's interviewed Ted Bundy several times before Bundy died. He was part of the investigation to the Green River Killer out in the Pacific Northwest. And he believed that as police check into the suspect's past, that other cases in other cities likely will pop up. He doesn't believe that the attacks just started in Flint in May.
Corey, can you describe the mood in the city of Flint?
From the handful or so residents I spoke with, they're relieved, still cautious. Several people told me that they will think twice, if at all, about being good Samaritans and helping people out.
Right.
One guy said he'd help if it was a woman who needed help. He'd gladly help, but if it was a guy, he'd be skeptical and probably wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with an investigator this afternoon, and on their end, they're relieved, but their work is really just beginning because now they have to help prosecutors prepare charges to get the suspect headed toward court.
Apparently there was no resistance toward extradition. Do we have a clue as to the motive?
My last conversation with the investigators is they don't. I'm not exactly sure what any of the investigators may have asked or gotten from the suspect in Atlanta. I'm sure we'll find out more when he's returned here to Michigan. One thing in this case, the prosecutors and the police have been very open with the media and with the public almost every step along the way, keeping everyone abreast of what's been going on. I don't think that's going to change. Right now it's very early, and I'm sure they're being very careful as they put their case together.
I think of how fortunate we are, in one sense, that he was in Hartsfield International Airport when he was apprehended and could have made a getaway to Jerusalem. And then what would have happened?
Well, the investigator I spoke with this afternoon, he told me that the police were aware of him. I believe it will have to look at my notes, but I think it was late Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And before he made it to Atlanta, to the airport in Atlanta, they'd already tracked him.
Okay.
They tracked him in Louisville. They knew where he was headed. They knew about the ticket to Tel Aviv, and they were waiting for him. Now, if he was able to board a flight, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what his passport status is. All I've been told is that he's an Israeli national.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on right now. I think there's an investigation going on over in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an attack there.
Mm. Corey, when was the first attack?
The first attack in Flint, I believe it was May 24th. I know it was late May. The second attack, I'm sure, occurred June 21st. Both were fatal. Both guys died. There were no witnesses. After the June 21st attack, things started moving along real quickly. There were attacks often.
Does that explain why the sketch didn't surface until relatively late?
I'm not sure why the sketch came out late. I spoke with an investigator.
The sketch is excellent. I mean, it looks just like the guy.
Well, it does resemble him. The description was really accurate as far as his size, being tall and stocky build or muscular. The police tell me that because there was such a big gap between the first attack and the second attack,
mm-hmm.
that it took a while for them to realize exactly what they had.
That they had a serial
murder,
yeah.
And then you had some stabbing attacks that may or may not have been related. But as soon as they were sure, that's when they alerted the media and got the word out.
Corey Williams of the Associated Press, and he has been covering this story, as usual, doing a great job. Corey, people want to read more. The best way for them to do that is?
I would go online to AP, the Associated Press. We have a website.
All right.
And read our top stories there. Hopefully this is one of the top stories in not just the country, but around the world.
And AP is the newspaper of the world, and you can pick up a lot of what Corey writes in other newspapers as well. Thanks so much, Corey. Really appreciate it.
Jack, thank you, sir. Anytime.
All right. To work with him at the Lansing State Journal. Terrific guy. We'll be right back with Matthew Consolato talking about congressional ethics oxymorons.